All right, so are you ready to dive into something a little bit different? You guys asked for cooking with a two-slot toaster. And honestly, I wasn't sure what to expect. I mean, the title's hilarious, right? A little bit out there, but then I saw the dedication to everyone in the entire world, past and present, except Chef Jim Drake. Now I have to know more.
Yeah, who is this chef Jim Drake? Like, what could he have possibly done
Seriously.
to be singled out like that?
It's like the vibe of the whole cookbook. Like, we've got a foreword by adult film star James Paninas. We've got a disclaimer about a lack of scratch and sniff pictures. It's really playing with our expectations of what a cookbook should be.
Absolutely, and I think when you get into the actual content, it gets even wilder.
Yeah.
I mean, the book is divided into beginner and advanced recipes, plus these appendices covering all sorts of things.
Okay, so let's start with the beginner recipes. Room temperature air,
Okay.
hot air,
Great.
bread. Are these even recipes?
I think that's where the humor comes in. The author, Patrick Blakely, he's taking these everyday things that we take for granted and presenting them as these like gourmet experiences. He even gives detailed instructions on how to consult HVAC manuals for optimal room temperature air.
It's like satirizing our culture's obsession with overcomplication and regulation.
Right.
Like, even something as simple as breathing needs a manual these days.
Exactly. And then there's the hot air recipe. He mentions that this is a popular dish in Washington, D.C., served daily at Congress.
Oh, so he's not just poking fun at foodies, he's taking aim at politicians too.
It certainly seems that way. It's subtle, but there's definitely like a layer of political commentary in there.
Okay, but how about bread? I mean, there are pages dedicated to achieving the correct firmness and even a mathematical formula for
Wow.
determining the optimal bribe to get your teammate to give you a positive review.
It's like he's saying that even the simplest things in life can become overly complicated if we let them.
And don't forget the very specific instructions to only top your bread with tomato-based ketchup. NTBKs, non-tomato-based ketchups, strictly forbidden.
Right. It's like he's created this whole world of absurd food rules
Yeah.
that mirror anxieties we have about what we eat in the real world.
Okay, so we've got air,
Yeah.
we've got bread covered, but then there's burnt toast, and that's where things get a little bit
That's on
concerning.
air.
He recommends contacting your utility provider and having a fire blanket on hand.
He's definitely playing up the danger here for comedic effect, but what's interesting is he also uses like real scientific terms talking about the carcinogens that form when bread is burnt.
So he's mixing humor with actual science.
Exactly. It's like he's satirizing our tendency to overanalyze food and get caught up in the minutia of health risks.
Right.
He wants us to like relax and enjoy the simple pleasures of like well-burnt toast.
Now, the advanced recipes
Yeah.
sound even more intense. Buttered toast with jelly is considered advanced. I mean, what could possibly be so complicated about that?
Well, he talks about the importance of having a clean crumb tray and achieving a state of zen while spreading the jelly. It's all very over the top.
It's like he's turning these everyday tasks into these elaborate rituals.
Right. And then just when you think he can't get any more absurd, there's the secret recipe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was ready for some kind of culinary masterpiece. What was it?
Yeah.
Some secret family recipe passed down through generations.
Not quite. It's actually a joke chapter encouraging the reader to get good with the
Wait,
IRS.
what? So he just throws in a random chapter about taxes?
It's totally unexpected, but that's Blakely's style, you know? He loves to subvert our expectations and keep us guessing.
Right.
It's like he's saying, "Hey, I'm not taking any of this too seriously, so you shouldn't either."
I'll admit it's kind of refreshing. Okay.
Yeah.
So we've covered the recipes,
Right.
but we haven't even touched on the appendices.
Right, and there's some interesting stuff there too, like Appendix D, How to Write a Toaster Cookbook. It's almost like he's breaking the fourth wall and commenting on his own book.
I love that. It's so meta. It's
Right.
like he's winking at the reader, acknowledging the absurdity of it all.
Exactly.
That's amazing. Okay, so we've got this cookbook that's funny, satirical, maybe even a little bit philosophical.
It definitely makes you think about the way we approach things in life.
Yeah.
Are we overcomplicating things? Are we taking ourselves too seriously?
And it also makes you appreciate the simple things like toast.
Exactly. It's a reminder that there's beauty and humor to be found in the everyday if we just know where to look.
Now, what do you think? Are you ready to fire up your toaster and get cooking?
I'm definitely intrigued. I might not be making room temperature air anytime soon, but I'm curious to see what other culinary adventures Blakely has in store for us.
Well, before we get too carried away with our toaster culinary dreams, I think we should probably delve a little deeper into these advanced recipes.
Okay.
We were talking about a buttered toast with jelly before and how Blakely elevates it to an almost like spiritual level.
Yeah, he talks about achieving a state of oneness with the jelly.
Right. It's like just jelly on toast.
Yeah, it's jelly on toast.
Right.
But he's making it sound like some kind of transcendental experience.
He's poking fun at those cooking shows where they make everything sound so dramatic and intense, but at the same time, it's kind of brilliant the way he takes something so ordinary and makes it seem extraordinary.
Then there's hot inside parts of a toaster. When I first saw this, I was picturing some kind of molten metal dessert or something.
I know, me too.
Equally crazy.
Yeah, it's not a recipe at all.
Yeah.
It's actually a rant about Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi. Wait, what? How do we go from toast to Star Wars?
He really goes in on this movie, criticizing everything from the plot to the characters.
And the lack of toaster droids in the film. Next up is toasted English muffins. But it's less about toasting and more about driving skills and fast food etiquette.
Exactly. He uses the English muffin as like a springboard to talk about the art of ordering an Egg McMuffin at the drive-thru. It's surprisingly detailed and quite funny.
It's like he's saying that even the most mundane tasks can be approached with a sense of artistry and precision.
And speaking of precision, let's talk about toasted bagels. Mm. This recipe is like a masterclass in overcomplication.
Okay.
He brings in everything from bagel slicers to the Ship of Theseus paradox. But it also makes you think, you know, why do we feel the need to make things so complicated? Can't we just enjoy a simple toasted bagel without all the drama?
Waffles with syrup is another recipe that takes an unexpected turn. Instead of focusing on cooking techniques, Blakely dives into Euclidean geometry and Microsoft Excel formulas.
It's like he's showing us that math and science are everywhere, even in our breakfast food, and he does it in a way that's like informative and entertaining.
Right, but then he throws in this description of maple syrup as a dangerous chemical.
I know.
I mean, I know it's sticky, but is it really a hazmat situation? Leftover pizza slices is another recipe where Blakely lets his inner math geek run wild. He talks about pi, circumference, diameter, the area of a circle.
And he even throws in a philosophical question about whether reheating pizza in a toaster truly qualifies as making pizza.
Which is a question that has plagued philosophers for centuries.
And pizza lovers everywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
And then there's grilled cheese, which might be the most dangerous recipe in the book.
Oh, yeah.
He suggests turning your toaster on its side to make a grilled cheese sandwich.
Which is probably a fire hazard, not to mention voiding your toaster's warranty.
Right. But he does offer some sage advice. Call your parents and apologize for potentially burning down their kitchen.
Right. It's a reminder that even amidst the absurdity, there's still a place for family and responsibility.
Okay. Next up is warm paninis. I was expecting a recipe, but it turns out to be more of a linguistic lesson.
Right.
Blakely explores the history of the word panini and the correct pronunciation. It's like he's saying that language is playful and fun, and we shouldn't be afraid to experiment with it.
Right.
Okay, then we have the recipe for success, which is a sudden shift in tone. Blakely drops the comedic facade and gets serious, offering genuine advice on achieving goals and avoiding overcomplication.
It's almost like he's giving us a pep talk using the toaster as a metaphor for self-improvement.
He's saying that just like a toaster needs the right ingredients and settings to function properly, so do we.
Right.
It's actually quite inspiring. And then just when we think he's gone soft on us, we get to classic 1643 duck pâté en croûte, a recipe that requires grinding duck meat, mastering pastry dough.
In a toaster cookbook?
In a toaster cookbook.
Right. Like, it's the ultimate challenge. A culinary Mount Everest that seems completely out of place in this book. But then again, nothing in this book is what you'd expect.
But Blakely provides detailed instructions for every step, including how to make toast points using a toaster, which, let's be honest, is the most important part of this recipe.
Exactly. He's a master of blending the absurd with the practical.
Finally, we have blank recipes for you to create, a section that encourages readers to come up with their own toaster-based recipes.
Yeah. It's a brilliant way to involve the reader and create a sense of community.
Right.
It's like he's saying, hey, I've given you some ideas. Now it's your turn to get creative. So we've spent a lot of time unpacking this cookbook, exploring its humor, its satire, its unexpected twists and turns. But what does it all mean?
Right.
What's the takeaway for our listeners?
Well, I think on the surface, it's a hilarious and absurd cookbook that's sure to entertain anyone who picks it up.
Yeah.
But I think there's a deeper message here, too.
I think Blakely is trying to tell us something about the way we live our lives, you know? We tend to overcomplicate things, take ourselves too seriously, and get caught up in the minutiae of everyday life.
So he's using this ridiculous toaster cookbook to make a point about simplicity.
Exactly. He's showing us that there's beauty and humor to be found in the ordinary if we just know where to look.
And maybe, just maybe, he's encouraging us to embrace our own inner two-slot toaster and find the things that spark joy in our lives, no matter how silly or unconventional they may seem.
I think you hit the nail on the head.
So the next time you find yourself staring into the abyss of your two-slot toaster, remember the wisdom of Patrick R.F. Blakely.
Embrace the absurdity.
Challenge convention.
And don't forget to have fun.
And hey, if you're feeling really adventurous, maybe even join the Toaster Collectors Association. You never know what kind of toast-related shenanigans you might get into.
That's it for our deep dive into cooking with a two-slot toaster.
Thanks for joining us on this unexpected journey. Until next time, happy toasting.